welcome to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. My name is Damon Azali, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann, and today we're going to bring you some voices from the front lines. First, we have late-breaking news on the Kevin Cooper case from San Francisco. We'll be joined by Stephanie Fauché from Death Penalty Focus, talking about the recent update on Kevin Cooper's case. And secondly, we'll be talking to Cynthia Rojas, who is an organizer with the Bus Riders Union, on the MTA's recent appeal of the court order that is a part of this continuing civil rights consensus decree aimed at improving bus service for Black, Latino, Asian Pacific Islander, and working class white bus riders of LA, and their attempt to support a counter resolution tomorrow at LA's City Council. So first we have Stephanie on the line. Stephanie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Thank you so much for talking to us. I know you're on right after this call. You're going to be going to San Quentin to be right in the front line.
Yes, I am. Yeah. We're getting geared up to go out there right now.
Okay. So basically, maybe if you can just, I know there's been kind of on the radio, at least on KPFK, it's been on the radio pretty recently. Can you give us a brief history of the case and talk about this recent stay? I believe late this morning there was a stay issued on the execution of Kevin Cooper. And maybe if you can talk about what that was based on, how long it is, and, you know, how you guys got it.
Sure. Well, Kevin Cooper is a 46-year-old African-American male on death row in California, scheduled to be executed this evening at 12:01 p.m. He has been on death row for almost 20 years for the murder of the Ryan family and a member of the Hughes family in San Bernardino County in 1983. We believe that he may have been wrongfully convicted for these crimes and that much of the evidence now leads to three other suspects. This evidence includes blonde hair that was found in one of the victim's hands, the identification by Josh Ryan, the youngest member of the family who survived the attack, identifying three white or Mexican men as the perpetrators who killed his family, and additional evidence from key witnesses who have stepped forward just in the last few days identifying three men who may have been involved in this attack. One woman implicated her boyfriend by turning in a pair of bloody coveralls that he brought home on the night of the murders. Those coveralls were destroyed by the police. Without having any testing on them whatsoever. They were destroyed and without any question because the police felt they had their man, Kevin Cooper, that was it, and they didn't want to look at any other leads pointing away from Kevin Cooper. And finally, there has been a confession by a man named Kenneth Kuhn who implicated the man who wore these overalls and another man, and men fitting their description were seen in a bar that evening wearing clothing of this description covered in blood on the evening of the murders. Kevin Cooper is now facing execution just hours away, and we believe that he may be innocent.
So when you say he's, because I remember reading 12:01 is when the execution is scheduled, but then there was actual stay, and it was kind of confusing about what that actually means.
Well, yes, there is a stay of execution in place right now. We are said that we will hear from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals within 20 minutes about what the next move will be. The Ninth Circuit issued a stay of execution this morning and agreed to an en banc hearing, an 11-judge panel hearing of the case. We don't know if there will be a full hearing or there will just be a simple review of the case in which they could grant a further investigation or they could deny the petition as it is right now. The U.S. Supreme Court could also step in and nullify the stay of execution. However, we believe that's very unlikely because they usually defer to the lower courts when they have granted a review.
And the stay is based on this evidence that hasn't been seen by the jury?
Yes, it's based on new evidence. And it fits the description of new evidence because there was no way the defense could have gotten its hands on this evidence earlier. These affidavits that have been recently submitted were submitted in January and just last week in February. So it does qualify as new evidence, and therefore we are hopeful that the Ninth Circuit Court, will do the right thing and grant a new hearing of this evidence.
So basically the saying in he can still actually be executed at 12:01 a.m.
He could be executed this evening if the Ninth Circuit denies the habeas corpus petition, or if the U.S. Supreme Court does intervene and nullify the stay of execution. However, we should hear very soon, and we will have updates on our website, which is www.deathpenalty.org, as to what the situation is. However, all the scheduled events for today, all of the rallies and protests and vigils will be carrying on as planned, because we don't know what could happen.
Okay, and let me actually make an announcement on what's going on here in Los Angeles. At 7 p.m. at the Westwood Federal Building, people are going to be gathering and going to be marching to 580 Hilgard Street, which is St. Albans Church, and they're going to be there until there is a further decision on the particular case. Stephanie, can you tell me a little bit more about what people can do? I know there was talked about calling the governor, calling Bill Locklear. What are things that people can actually do to help Kevin out right now?
Well, we encourage people to go out to all of these events, the rally at the Westwood Federal Building. We encourage people to call the governor, and we encourage people to call the attorney general and ask the attorney general not to file a petition against the stay of execution. We need this evidence to be heard. We need Kevin Cooper to have a fair day in court, and we hope that people will take action today.
Stephanie, hi. Can you hear me? This is Eric Mann.
Yes.
Hi. It's almost mind-boggling, right? I mean, what does it take for a black man to get a stay of execution? How much more evidence? You know, if you were on death row, you couldn't dream, if this was a movie, you couldn't dream of this amount of extra evidence coming out. Where is Schwarzenegger on this? Where's the great liberal Shriver? Where is Bill Lockyer? Who is leading the fight? Is anybody besides your excellent work trying to really, in terms of the elected officials, trying to take a stand on this and understand the seriousness of murder first and ask questions later?
Up to this point, no one has been willing to consider this evidence, and it has been very frustrating because there have been a number of people pleading to the governor to just examine the evidence, take a close look at it, and see if the burden of proof has been met in this case. When a man's life is at stake, that is the very least we can ask. Up to this point, Governor Schwarzenegger denied a clemency hearing, then he denied clemency, and refused to act or grant a stay of execution at any time. Now, there's a red phone in that execution chamber for a reason. He can always change his mind. We've been encouraging people to call the governor. They can do so by calling 916-445-2841 and demand a stay of execution for Kevin Cooper. We think that he must acknowledge this new evidence that's come forward, some of it in the last week, that this evidence has come forward after he made his decision. Nobody would blame him or question his decision to examine this new evidence because, like I said, this is a man's life we're talking about, and what's the rush?
Well, we totally agree. The question is, are there any Democratic Party liberals literally throwing themselves in front of the execution switch right now, which is what's going to be needed?
There have been quite a few senators and assemblypersons who have signed a newspaper ad last week calling on the governor to stay this execution. They have been spokespeople during press conferences. They have been signing letters to the governor and sending personal letters and calls. There are a few leaders, including Senator Burton, Senator Romero, Senator Scher, Assemblyman Steinberg, Assemblyman Leno, who have been calling out to ask for a fair trial. They are in the minority, unfortunately. We encourage people to contact their legislators and ask them why they're not out on this issue. There have been about 10 leaders who have put their necks out there and said, this is not right. And their support is desperately needed and appreciated.
Well, Gloria Romero was one of the founders of the organization that Damon and I are members of, the Labor Community Strategy Center. And I hear that she's actually been doing some pretty heroic work in trying to challenge the criminal justice system. I think I want you to comment on that briefly, and then also on, you know, this is so disgusting about Maria Shriver and the Kennedy family, you know, on one hand running with John Kerry and trying to be liberals, on the other hand providing a front for this level of violation of civil rights and this level of institutional racism, I think that targeting Maria Shriver is something not in the next 24 hours, but that we really need to think about quite seriously.
I agree completely. I believe that we need to hold these people accountable. And Senator Murrow has been wonderful on this issue. Last year, she held a hearing on the death penalty and how it is applied in California, and she was willing to expose many of the flaws in California system based on concrete research that has been published in very respectable law journals. Senator Murrow has been doing her best to open up these flaws so that the public can examine them for themselves, and she's been trying to get attention to this issue, and I really do applaud her efforts. She has not been afraid to stick her neck out there and really say, let's take a look at what's going on here. There's a problem.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, and we're talking to Stephanie Fauché of Death Penalty Focus. Stephanie, I wanted to ask, because I know you have a couple minutes left before we get to our next segment, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the moratorium on the death penalty. I was reading that blacks are 13% of the U.S. population, but 43% of the people on death row. And if you look at even if you're doing it back to California, which is not actually a death row statistic, but it's in relation to California's three strikes, black people are 11% of California's population, but 67% that are in for California three strikes. In 1972, there was a case, Furman versus Georgia, that abolished the death penalty for 4 years, and it was based on these racial disparities. So can you talk about the tactical game plan that your organization and like organizations are trying to do to actually get rid of the death penalty?
Well, it's interesting you bring up the Furman versus Georgia decision, because that decision actually was based on a situation that is actually less bad as it is today. The situation has actually gotten much worse today in terms of disparities, geographic, economic, and racial. In fact, a recent study has shown that those who kill white victims are 3 to 4 times more likely to get the death penalty than those who kill blacks or Latinos. This is appalling in this day and age that we still have such horrible racial disparities in our system, and that geographic disparities are absolutely appalling as well, that if you are in Los Angeles County and you commit a murder, you're much more likely to get the death penalty than if you're in San Francisco County.
And why is that?
That is simply because the DAs, at their discretion, seek the death penalty and are not bound by any state regulation to follow a set of criteria. There is no proportionality review in California. In fact, it's forbidden, where crimes in different counties should be equivalent if they're going to qualify for the death penalty. This proportionality review is not allowed in California. Therefore, DAs in different counties are allowed to seek the death penalty when and where they want to. DAs are elected positions. They are elected by people and have political positions, and their position on the death penalty is incredibly important. In San Francisco, the DA, former DA of San Francisco, was against the death penalty and therefore swore that he would not seek the death penalty. That's not the case in Los Angeles and many other counties in California. So there is a great disparity in how the death penalty is applied simply based on local politics.
Okay. So let me give you the phone number for Governor Schwarzenegger that you can call and ask him to reinforce the stay, I would guess, for Kevin Cooper. His number is 916, area code, 445-2841. His fax number is area code 916, also 445-4633. You can email him at governor@governor.ca.gov. Stephanie, is there contact information or a way to get more information about the campaign to get a moratorium on the death penalty?
Yes. Please visit our website, www.californiamoratorium.org, or you can call us at 415-243-0143. We're just calling for timeout on execution while a bipartisan study can be put in place to examine many of these problems that I've mentioned, the racial disparities, geographic disparities, and economic disparities. You don't have to be against the death penalty to support a timeout on executions. You simply have to support fairness in our justice system.
but we can also be against the death penalty.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Many of us are.
All right. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck today on your have a safe trip.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Okay. We'll be right back with Cynthia Rojas, who is an organizer from the Bus Riders Union, on the MTA's recent appeal of the consent of the Civil Rights Court order and the continuing fight for the civil rights.